Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers people? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Thanks for being here today. Great episode lined up for you. I'm really excited about it because if you noticed a few days ago, I posted a video of Carrington Valentine playing press man coverage, and I didn't necessarily have a topic in mind when I did that, but the more and more that I dug into this sort of press man coverage theme for the Packers and how maybe some of these corners can be utilized in 2024 and how they played in press man coverage in 2023, the more this episode just kind of came together on its own. And I'm really excited to discuss it with you today. So we'll get there in just a moment. Before we do so, shout out to Philip Luter, The Sproles, and Whiskey 61 for signing up to become brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Appreciate you guys a ton. And if you have not yet checked out the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel or the membership options, definitely make sure to do so. Otherwise, just like, comment, subscribe, give those 5-star reviews, whatever you can do to support the channel. Just tell your friends, tell your family about the show, that you're liking it, and maybe have them check it out. Today, as I mentioned, press man coverage. And really excited to chat about this because, like I said, did not have this necessarily planned. It's funny, I just showed my notebook full of hundreds of ideas of things that I want to go over. This was not actually one of the ideas I had within that notebook, but it just kind of came together really, really fast after I started watching film of these corners in 2023. Now, we've talked about and we know that Jeff Hafley seemingly is planning on playing more aggressive press man coverage in 2024. We don't know how much. We don't know exactly what this is going to look like. We don't know how dependent it's going to be upon the opponent that they're playing. We don't know a lot of things. We think we know that there's going to be a lot more press man coverage, but just to what degree is TBD. We're going to have to wait and see to see how this all comes together. It could all be a red herring. It could all be something that Jeff Hafley doesn't want to tip his hand. We don't know. But I'd be willing to venture a guess that we are going to see more. How much more? That's going to be the wait and see. But I definitely think we're going to see a lot more than we saw certainly in the Joe Barry era in Green Bay. So I think we can say that with some level of certainty. But as I wanted to dig into this, as I started to get the idea for doing this, I really wanted to go back and watch Carrington Valentine, Eric Stokes, Jaire Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, those four particularly, to see how they did in press man coverage in 2023. There has rarely been moments, if ever, I don't know of any of them off the top of my head, that I was going back and watching tape and actually being upset by the tape that I was watching. Not because Carrington Valentine or Eric Stokes or Keyshawn Nixon or Jaire Alexander couldn't play press man coverage, not because they were struggling with it, quite the opposite. They all looked really, really good doing it. We'll kind of go over that in just a moment, but it just made me recognize even more sort of what we've all been saying all along, that these group of corners, Jaire, specifically Jaire, Valentine, and Stokes, but even as I watched more of it, Keyshawn Nixon too, these were corners that were never meant to be playing in a off zone, off man, off anything style coverage, keep everything in front of them. We're going to play super soft. We're just going to try to come up and rally and tackle. These were never, ever corners and or defensive backs, going even to the safeties from these previous teams that were set up to be successful in that style of defense. Maybe I'll take that back. First of all, I do believe that that's true, but they were more set up to be successful in a more aggressive style system that I think, again, we're going to see with Jeff Hafley. And I'm going back and I'm watching the tape of all of these corners playing man coverage. And it made me upset that we didn't get to see more of that in the Joe Barry era, that he was just so allergic to playing that style of football far more often than not. It wasn't really until sort of the end of last season where it felt like there was, I don't know if an ultimatum, I don't know if there was pressure, maybe he came upon it on his own. I'm not sure what it was, but it felt like they got to the point last year where they started to play a little bit more of an aggressive brand of football. And we've sort of seen this in the past. We sort of see Joe Barry do what he does, and then it doesn't necessarily go great. And then at the end of the season, there's like more of a whatever moment, a come to Jesus moment from his players or the coaching staff to say, hey, you got to play more aggressive. And then he does. And then he started the season again, doing the same thing he always wants to do, playing off zone coverage more often than not. But the more I watch this, the more I was keenly aware even more that these are corners that need to be more physical, more aggressive, and playing more press man coverage than what we saw. It was clear as day. They were really impressive in doing so. Now it's going to be up to those players to actually go out and execute. Now the fact that the Packers do have a defensive coordinator that seems willing and open to playing a more aggressive style of coverage. And this is not just a new Jeff Hafley style thing. We heard from Matt LaFleur on numerous occasions that this is sort of the style now that they want to play, that they want to be more aggressive. And it clearly seems that they hired a defensive coordinator that's willing to play that way. And I could not be more excited for it as I went back and watched the film. So let's start with Carrington Valentine. The first thing that I recognized with Carrington Valentine and what made me so excited about Valentine in 2024 was how many times he was matched up in single press man coverage against some of the best wide receivers in the league, and Green Bay trusted him, and more often than not, he delivered. Chris Olave, Cortland Sutton, Cooper Kupp, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, DJ Moore, CD Lamb. Those are just some of the wide receivers that Carrington Valentine was asked to man up one-on-one as a rookie seventh round pick in a playoff run in 2023. And he held up. It was super impressive. Now, a couple other things that caught my eye. Number one, early in the season, he allowed some completions to some of those guys. Chris Olave, Cortland Sutton. There's a couple others as well. And they were unbelievable plays by both the quarterback and the wide receiver. Unbelievable plays. And those were the ones where you just sort of had to tip your cap and say, hey, we had good coverage on the play. They made a great play. We tip our cap and we move on. But as the season went along, the tip your cap plays became fewer and fewer. And Carrington Valentine held up extremely well. And he got significantly better as the season went along and looked really great in press man coverage by the end of the year. That was the first one that got me really excited. And then I moved on to Eric Stokes. And we know that Eric Stokes did not have any real legitimate season in 2023, right? He has the major injury in 2022, comes back in 2023, almost is ready to go right at the end of training camp, has a setback before the start of camp, ends up staying, not playing until, I don't know what, midway through the season, and then finally gets activated, plays what, three snaps of special teams, immediately injures himself again, works his way back, comes and plays two games, injures himself again, and is out for the remainder of the season. And in those two games, we saw a rather rusty Eric Stokes. I don't think it was necessarily a bad Eric Stokes. He just looked like he needed to get back on the field and start playing again so he could work off some of that rust. And just as he was working off some of that rust, he gets injured again for the third or fourth time, whatever it was, last season. However, as I go back and I watch a very, very admittedly small sample size of Eric Stokes' press man coverage plays, 14 to be exact, I watch Eric Stokes in press man coverage. Spoiler alert, he looked really good. I really enjoyed watching Eric Stokes in press man coverage. He had four plays in press man coverage against both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. He gave up one catch for 19 yards on one target. So he was only targeted once. He gave up a catch for 19 yards, but it did look like on that play, he was expecting inside help from his safeties and it didn't ever come. So it looks like he was playing it the right way, allowed them to come inside, was expecting that help on the inside and just didn't get it. I didn't necessarily put it as a huge negative as I was watching this. And the other three plays, he had good coverage on the plays. And then he had 10 plays in press man coverage versus Carolina. They targeted him twice. The first play, he had great coverage incomplete pass. The second play, he allowed a 10-yard touchdown in the back of the end zone. If you remember, this was a rollout play by Bryce Young. It was in the back corner of the end zone, and the receiver got the catch and then dragged the toes at the very, you know, precipice of the corner of the end zone, and he completed it for a touchdown. So technically, he was targeted twice, one catch, 10 yards, and a touchdown. However, that play was not Eric Stokes' fault at all. He had great coverage throughout the course of the play. The play lasted an eternity, an absolute eternity. And, you know, Bryce Young is dancing around the pocket, all of a sudden rolls right. Even rolling right, he took forever to, you know, like basically exhaust the entire like width of the field before he finally got rid of the pass. And even then, it took a phenomenal pass and a phenomenal catch by the Panthers on that play to complete it. And that's just another one where Eric Stokes is, he's not at fault there. The pressure's got to get home prior to that. And even then, he still tried everything he could to stick with that play. But I would not have put that one on him either. But as I watched him, he reminded me a bit of the Eric Stokes that I saw playing as a rookie. Now, extremely small sample size, and he struggled in zone coverage quite a bit in those two games that he did play in. So I'm not saying Eric Stokes is back, crown him, he's ready to go, he's going to be a stud or anything like that. I'm just saying as I watched his snaps in press man coverage, he looked good. I was really impressed. And it looked like somebody who was ready to come back and play that style of football again, if given the opportunity. You just didn't get a ton of opportunity, and mostly because he just got injured again. Then there was Jaire Alexander. Now, Jaire, very clearly, one, had the largest sample size of, actually, him and Nixon were pretty similar. Nixon had quite a few press man coverage plays as well. He was probably number one, but Jaire had a lot more of a sample size. He also very clearly has the best skill set for man coverage and press man coverage of any of the Packers corners. That should go theoretically without saying. However, I did think that he struggled the most for the first half of the season in that style of play, just giving up a little bit too much separation and not necessarily playing the same sticky Jaire Alexander brand of football that we've come accustomed to watching from Jaire. And I think there was always just a bit of something off with the entire Jaire situation. And notice, I'm not necessarily saying here with Jaire. I'm saying the Jaire situation. It just felt like Jaire never really felt comfortable. Felt like the Packers never really felt comfortable with Jaire. Felt like Jaire never really felt comfortable with the Joe Barry style of defense. It's a lot of that, all of it, is just reading between the lines. We don't know exactly what happened, why it happened, how it happened, any of that, but it just never felt right. Now, I'm not saying he was terrible or bad or any of it. In fact, again, I came away very confident that this group of corners can play a steady brand of man coverage and press man coverage in 2024 and be very successful doing so. But early to mid in the season, it didn't feel right. And then once that suspension sort of got out of the way, and even I think a little bit before that, you started seeing Jaire play a better brand of football, a more Jaire-esque brand of football. And I thought he looked like Jaire towards the end of the season. And what we're all hoping for is that we see that Jaire Alexander in 2024 playing once again at an all-pro level. But regardless of what you think of the tape from 2023 and how Jaire played, it is unquestionable that he is the most talented pure man cover corner on the entire team. And when he's right, is one of the best, absolute best pure man-to-man cover corners in all of the NFL. So you're just working to unlock all of that again and get him ready. By all accounts, he is in Green Bay. He is preparing. He is working hard. He is doing everything the right way to get ready for this upcoming season. Reading between the lines here again, it feels like Jaire Alexander is ready to play in a new defense with a new defensive coordinator, with a more attacking style of football that is going to fit not only the rest of these corners, but certainly Jaire Alexander as well. Hey friends, playoff time is the best time to join the Prize Picks community that already boasts over 5 million members. There is no lack of action. We are in full playoff mode in both the NBA and the NHL. Baseball season is just heating up as we head into summer. And don't forget, we have the much anticipated debut of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA this week as well. Whatever it is that gets you excited, Prize Picks has a plethora of picks to add to your excitement and make all the action that much more enjoyable. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the easiest, most fun, and most enjoyable way to not only enjoy the games, but to win up to 100 times my money. With the right pick, you could turn $10 into $1,000 by using the Prize Picks app. Their enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. This week, of course, I'm going with Caitlin Clark. I'm also going with Anthony Edwards, and I got to go with Oshkosh's own Tyrese Halliburton as well. The best part is there are tons of options, and whoever it is that you want to go with, there are a ton of ways to enjoy the Prize Picks app. And as always, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And then we get to Keyshawn Nixon. And this was the one I already had in my notes of like, all right, does Green Bay need to maybe take Nixon off the field in some of these man-to-man coverage situations and obvious passing downs? But man, I was really impressed with Keyshawn Nixon in press man coverage as well. And the slot specifically is no man's land. It is a lonely, lonely island when you are in that slot position, going to go up against some of these unbelievable slot players. We've talked about this. You can get Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Travis Kelce, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, everything that you can possibly imagine, all shapes, all sizes, all different body types, shiftier guys, speedier guys, power forward guys, all of it, tight ends, running backs, wide receivers. You can see anything lined up there in the slot. And I thought Nixon handled it incredibly well in man coverage. Again, leaving me super excited for what's to come in 2024, while also simultaneously really frustrated that we didn't see this style of football more in 2023. And I know some of you are probably thinking aloud, like, Andy, we've been saying these corners were never set up for that system. And I will tell you wholeheartedly, I said out loud, I get that the Packers need to play more man, but you have to remember in 2023, 2024, it is a little bit harder to play a lot of primary man coverage in the NFL because there are so many different man beater concepts that you have to be cognizant of. And there are a lot of things that you need to do to make that work. And I did have some druthers and questions as to whether or not Green Bay would be able to pull that off with any real level of consistency. Now, after watching this, the better eye on it, I wholeheartedly believe that not only could have Green Bay done a better job of playing or like just doing more man-to-man coverage, being more aggressive, being more physical at the line of scrimmage, but I think they're set up very well to do this in 2024 if Jeff Hafley and company want to be able to do that. And I'll just say one more to finish up with Keyshawn Nixon here. I came away much more confident, not only in Keyshawn Nixon's overall ability, but his overall ability to play man coverage in the slot. I know there's a lot of people that are already fantasy booking Javon Bullard in the slot, Evan Williams in the slot. I'm not like Keyshawn Nixon defender 101 or anything like that, saying Green Bay's got their long-term slot corner, everything's solved, we don't have to worry about it. But the way he played man, I was pretty impressed by, and I just wouldn't immediately put Javon Bullard or Evan Williams. I just think Keyshawn Nixon's a pure better cover player than any of the safeties that Green Bay drafted. Now, maybe Kalen King can get in that conversation. There's an argument to be made that if Stokes and Valentine come back looking really, really good, that in obvious passing situations, maybe Stokes and Valentine on the outside and Jair on the inside does make the most sense. You could make an argument for that as well. But to begin with, I'd be looking at Keyshawn Nixon in the slot, giving him that opportunity. And I wouldn't be looking at Javon Bullard or Evan Williams or those type of players just because I do actually think Nixon is a better cover player than any of the safeties that they drafted as a pure slot cover corner. Now, there were some other notable observations that I made while watching all of these Packers snaps and press man coverage. Number one, I legitimately felt like there was a lot more quarterback confusion when Green Bay went this route. Now, a part of that is because when you prepare for a Joe Barry defense and you're expecting a lot of zone coverage, a lot of off coverage, and all of a sudden you get press man coverage, it's going to throw you for a second. You're not going to necessarily be prepared for it. It's more of a change up to the, you know, regular pitch that you're constantly throwing, your normal fastball. I don't know if I wanted to call Joe Barry's defense a fastball, but you get my point. It's a change up to what you're doing normally. How that would work if Green Bay started calling more of those plays and teams expected man and then zone coverage is your change up, that could be a difference there, but it did seem to lead to more quarterback confusion. With that, I also thought we saw better pressure and more sacks from the defensive front. When you get a quarterback that wants to get the ball out of his hands, but you're pressing on the outside, you're disrupting those routes, you're causing chaos, you know, you can't necessarily get to that first read, that second. All of a sudden, you've got pressure in your face, and that's going to lead to some more opportunities to get sacks and turnovers. And I saw that as I was watching the film, as Green Bay was using, you know, some of those opportunities to play press man-to-man coverage in 2023. And again, that's the hope that it can continue in 2024. And clearly, in these situations too, the corners do get to be more disruptive at the line of scrimmage. There's disadvantages. We're going to go over some of those, but it does give the corners a bit more opportunity to just disrupt and again, cause chaos. As a wide receiver, you want to be able to get off of your route and just get into it and dictate terms to the corner. And when the corner's playing 10 yards off, yes, the corner can read route concepts and have a high football IQ on how to shut some of that stuff down. But the wide receiver is now the one that's attacking. They're going towards a corner that's 10, 12, 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. And now they are going to be the ones that are going to dictate the pace. They're at a full sprint. They could go in multiple directions and go forward. They can cut back. They can do an in, they can do an out. We know there's a variety of routes that you can run. And again, you're dictating terms at that point. At the line of scrimmage, in that area of the field where the corner is allowed to get the hands on you and disrupt you, now the corner has the ability to dictate terms a little bit more. And I think that was something that was clearly evident and got, you know, went into that quarterback confusion and just frustration when Green Bay did go with that in 2023, albeit again in limited opportunities under the Joe Barry regime. Here's the other thing. Green Bay has a real legitimate true X factor, literally, at the safety position that can help their corners play press man-to-man coverage. And that X factor, pun intended here, is Xavier McKinney. He is a true post safety that has the ability to range sideline to sideline and cut off some of these big play opportunities and be sort of the cleaner, the eraser. Clean up the mess if the corners do in fact make a mistake. And that can come in one of two ways. That could be the corner gets beat off the line of scrimmage and the quarterback sees it, but his eyes bring Xavier McKinney over. And quarterback lofts the ball downfield that he thinks is going to be a big completion. And Xavier McKinney maybe ranges over and breaks up that pass, or in an ideal world, maybe has an opportunity to pick it off. He can clean up some of that stuff. But the other thing is maybe it gets completed, or maybe it's a different style of play that does get completed. And you know, the corner on the outside maybe misses the tackle, isn't able to get him to the ground right away. You have, a cleaner here that can clean up that mess for you, and Xavier McKinney, who will say, no, I'll take him down. We're not going to allow a 60-yarder here. Yeah, this is going to be maybe a 25-yarder. It's a big play. It's an explosive. We don't like it, but we're not going to give you a touchdown on the play. And Xavier McKinney has the ability to cover for that. And Javon Bullard, I think, has some of that capability as well. And I think that tandem is going to help these corners out, but it starts with Xavier McKinney. And you're going to feel as a defensive coordinator that you have more flexibility with what you want to do with your corners because you do have a safety like Xavier McKinney as that post safety cleaning up things from behind. So that gives Green Bay more opportunity and more ammunition as to why they would want to use more press coverage in 2024. Now, as I mentioned, there are some concerns, and there were some concerns when you watched them play man coverage in 2023. The first one is communication is key. And that should give everyone some pause, because in previous eras, not just in Joe Barry, but even in Mike Pettine and even sometimes in Dom Capers, we saw defenses that were not always great at communicating with one another, not always on the same page. So that's something that if you're going to play man, you better know the rules of the defense that you're playing. You better be talking to each other, and you better know how to pass off coverages. Because if you do not, if you don't have that level of communication, you're going to give up some very, very big plays. As an example, Jair and Nixon against the Raiders, they messed up a communication, left up a wide receiver wide open down the field. Jair and Owens and Rasul, messed up a communication and allowed sort of TJ Hockenson to get a pick on the play. A receiver to get a pick on the play and TJ Hockenson to come up the field and make a big play in the corners in no man's land. Those are things that can happen when you're playing man coverage and you need to be on the same page so everyone's doing the right things. Deep crossers can lead to a lack of communication. We saw that at a couple different times with Green Bay over the last couple seasons. So those are all things that are concerns. Another concern is sometimes good offense just wins. And sometimes it happens in the worst possible situations. For an example, 3rd and 5, divisional round game last year. Packers up 21-17, 3 minutes 38 seconds left in the game against the 49ers. Ball at the 49ers 47-yard line. 3rd and 5. If they don't convert this, there's a chance San Francisco punts the ball away and tries to get the ball back on defense. Brandon Ayuk is in the slot, matched up against Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon has fantastic coverage on Brandon Ayuk. Purdy and Ayuk just beat it. It was awesome coverage. It was really freaking good. He was right there, hand in the way. Purdy led him, got it low to the ground. Ayuk went down and snatched it. They converted a first down and then, of course, would go down to score a touchdown and the rest was history. You can play unbelievable man coverage. And go back to the Carrington Valentine video. There's a handful of plays in that video where Valentine's in near perfect coverage and the offense just comes up with a big play. That can happen. Now, that can happen a little bit in zone as well, but in man, those are hang with thems because you do everything in your power to limit some of those big explosive plays. And sometimes good offense just wins. So that's another thing that, you know, you can have some concern about. And last but not least here from a concern standpoint, you're opening yourself up to some of those big plays and I'm ready. Listen, same thing with the Brandon Ayuk play, the Chris Olave play against Carrington Valentine. I'm ready to tip my cap. I'm ready to tip my cap to opposing quarterbacks and wide receivers and tight ends and offenses. If Green Bay is doing what they're supposed to do and Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes and Jaire Alexander and Keyshawn Nixon have tight coverage and the opposing offense just completes an amazing play, I'm willing to tip the cap and say job well done. We'll live with it. Because we saw on too many different occasions throughout the Joe Barry era where there would be a wide receiver 3rd and 5, 7 yards downfield, nobody near him. I'm not tipping my cap to the offense on that. I'm throwing my hat on the ground because I'm ticked off that there's nobody covering the wide receiver on 3rd and 5. So I'm willing to give up some of those big plays. I'm willing to tip my cap in certain situations because I know Green Bay's defenders are going to be in the right spot. They have the ability to cover these guys man-to-man, and sometimes the offense is just going to win. And I'm willing to live with that if you're going to be able to play a more aggressive, physical, attacking style football that's going to set up your entire program and entire defense up for success. Now, here's the other thing. Green Bay cannot play press man-to-man full-time. Do I think that they can do it predominantly? Yes. I mean, meaning like a good chunk of the time? Yes, I do. But there are too many very smart offenses. There are man beaters that make things super challenging if you know that it's coming. Green Bay is going to have to find a way to be unpredictable, disguise coverages, and change things up consistently. If you're just doing the same thing over and over, I don't care how good your players are. I don't care how good you are at man coverage. Opposing offenses are just going to poke holes if they know what's coming. So it's going to be paramount that Green Bay is adaptive, that they are unpredictable, and they are not tipping their hand in any way, and that they're disguising their coverages as best they can. And that means, number one, showing that when you're in press, showing press man, but then getting into zone coverage off of it, which actually Green Bay did a decent job, I thought they did a good job of it in 2023. Also, the vice versa. Sometimes they're going to have to look like they're an off, and then maybe right before the snap, get up there and maybe play some press coverage. They're going to have to disguise some stuff if they want to be successful playing man. Again, must be unpredictable. They have to be aware of how to cover bunch concepts, motion, pick plays. Those are all things that opposing offenses are going to run at Green Bay a ton, and Green Bay better have an answer for it, or those things are just going to be really difficult to stop if Green Bay's not well-versed in how to handle each of those situations. Here's the other thing too. A lot of it could be dictated on quarterback wide receiver matchups. Green Bay and specifically Jeff Hafley has talked about like, hey, we need to match up with what the opposing offense is throwing at us. We need to put our players in the best position to be successful, but we need to be cognizant of what that opposing offense is really good at. And I think we saw games against Brett Rypien and Bryce Young and some of the younger, less experienced, just not as good quarterbacks, it seemed like Joe Barry was more willing to play a more press coverage style against those sort of quarterbacks, feeling that he wasn't going to get burned as easily. And that's not a bad way to go about it. When you're going against the Justin Herberts, the Patrick Mahomes, sometimes you want to play that a little bit less. They're going to hit on those big plays down the field with a higher level of regularity, so you may not want to do that quite as much. And you also have to be super smart about how you're going to handle mobile quarterbacks, because what happens when you're in man coverage? You turn your back to the quarterback and you run with the receivers, and all of a sudden you're all running one way or you're all following the wide receivers, and before you know it, these unbelievable, aggressive, athletic quarterbacks are taking off and running for huge gains. So they're going to have a plan of attack for that as well. So can the Packers, again, play a lot of man coverage? Yeah, I think so. But they're going to have some asterisks there. They're going to need to do it in the right situation at the right time in the right moment. And they're going to have to be unpredictable and really show the ability to not tip their hand in any way, to disguise everything as best as they can. Are the players set up for success? Hell yeah. All of these corners are set up to be successful. I saw it even in the playing time that they got in man coverage, in press man coverage in 2023. They are capable, they are ready, they are willing, and they, I believe, are going to be super excited to play this brand of defense. How should the Packers line up? We can make an argument for, again, Stokes and Valentine on the outside with Jair on the inside in certain situations, but I think you give Jair one spot, Nixon in the slot to begin with, and you let Carrington, Valentine, and Eric Stokes fight for that other spot. And I think that should be a really good competition, and may the best man win. You don't have to decide anything today. Watch those guys play and see who's ready to take on that mantle as starting quarterback and who can shut down the opposing wide receiver opposite Jair, hopefully playing this style of coverage that we saw all these guys play well at times in moments in 2023. Here's the big thing. I trust Jeff Hafley based on what I've heard so far. He's going to put these guys in positions to succeed. It's not going to be perfect. Defense is hard. Defense is really freaking hard. These wide receivers, these quarterbacks, these running backs, they're all super talented. And these offensive minds are really, really smart. They're going to find ways to pick holes in what Jeff Hafley does. But I do believe wholeheartedly he's going to put his players in a position to succeed and hopefully shut down some of these really talented wide receivers. And the more that I watched Jair and Nixon and all these guys last year, the more and more I came away feeling they're going to be up to the task and they're going to be ready to really cause some chaos and havoc for opposing offenses and make things so much harder than we saw than the Joe Barry era as we transition to the Jeff Hafley era. As I mentioned, the tape was frustrating, not because it looked bad, but because it looked good. It looked really good, and I wish they would have done a lot more of it in these past couple seasons. I truly cannot wait to see what Green Bay can do with these corners and what Jeff Hafley is going to do with them. I think we're going to finally see. The talking points all along have been, we think Eric Stokes and Jair Alexander, specifically those two, but Carrington Valentine and to some extent Keyshawn Nixon as well, we think these corners can be good. We just don't think they were meant for that Joe Barry style of defense. We think Joe Barry was wasting their prime. We're going to see. Was it Joe Barry was using them wrong, or did Green Bay just invest in the wrong corners? We're about to find out, but I can't wait. And I think wholeheartedly that they are going to be up for the challenge. All right, friends, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate it. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all-new episode. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Michael Shipper. See you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.